I just want to talk a little bit about climate justice in general. I designed this infographic, which is the center spread of your issue. So if you open your book list to page 16, you'll see it. So I just want to walk through a few aspects of this. The general point that I'd like to make is that, the general point I would like to make is that climate change and industrial civilization and the ecological crises, the sort of twin ecological crises that are resulting from those two things, really raise the stakes on a number of levels. You can sort of imagine climate change and ecological disaster as sort of a weapon that's being used to really exacerbate the inequalities that are currently happening. So you have the most vulnerable people on a global and a local scale who are going to be disproportionately affected by climate change and by these sort of industrial mega projects that are causing ecological disasters. And I'm talking about extraction projects, but also industrial projects that are causing pollution and so on. So talk a bit about the global level first. If you look at the infographic, over here you can see the sort of parts per million of concentration of carbon, CO2 in the atmosphere. And you can see that it's been going up quite steadily. One thing to note, I think, is that it's interesting to see how the bar gets moved pretty regularly. So in 1988, you had a bunch of scientists who were like, we need to reduce emissions by 60% right now. And that was when we were at 355 parts per million. Today, we're at 390, and all of a sudden, the bar has been moved up, you know, more and more until we're at, like, now we're at 450 parts per million is, like, the acceptable barrier. What this does is actually looks at, like, what the part in the middle here does is looks at what the scientists are actually saying in terms of best guesses. These are almost invariably conservative guesses, but you can sort of see what it means or what our scientific best guesses think it means to go up to any particular level of parts per million. So, for example, we're at 390 parts per million now, and if you look, if you see the sort of the triangles there, what that means is that we're already within the zone of the scientific probability that we're going to risk a 2-degree increase. That's if we stop doing anything at all and don't start taking carbon out of the atmosphere. But if we keep putting carbon into the atmosphere, it's going to keep going up, and we're going to get to the point where not at 450 parts per million, which is now the official international ceiling, which is but that's ignoring the fact that we're not actually doing anything to stop us from going even past that. At 450 parts per million, we're actually risking a 3-degree temperature increase. And what does that actually mean? So over on the right side, sort of outlined a few of the things that actually means. And they're just little text boxes, so they don't seem that significant. But at the 1-degree temperature increase, which is almost inevitable at this point, we're already 3/4 of the way there, you see things like falling crop yields, small mountain glaciers disappearing, stuff like that. And like, you know, it's just text on a page, but like what that actually means is that millions of people are not going to have access to food. And unfortunately, the way it breaks down geographically is that most of those people are going to be in West Africa, South America, and Asia. Not as much, at least in the short term, in North America. So I think it's really important to sort of, if we're looking at climate change, not just from a sort of parts per million perspective, but from a climate justice perspective, I think we have to look at, who's bearing the brunt of these changes. There's another little text box up at the 3-degree, up here, temperature increase, which says something that sounds almost innocuous, increasing risk of feedbacks and large-scale abrupt climate shifts. I mean, if you think about it, it's not very innocuous, because what that means is that you have melting permafrost, you have all kinds of carbon that's been stored in the ground that's going to start coming up out of the air. And as there's huge off-gassing and releases of this CO2, what the scientists say anyway is that you're going to have a feedback effect. What that means is you get more carbon in the atmosphere, which means more heat gets trapped, which means that you open up even more of this stuff. So if once we're at 3 degrees, we could very quickly, we don't know what the scenario is going to be, we could very quickly go up to something like 6. And even at 4 degrees, we're talking about just crazy scenarios that like are pretty much unimaginable, really. Like nobody, I think, really actually wants to contemplate the consequences of the Amazon River drying up or West Africa being completely uninhabitable. But that is what we're talking about. Sea level rises of up to 2 meters. This is some pretty crazy stuff. I just want to end by talking really briefly about the sort of local effects. And so you have, I'm not going to go into it, but there's the tar sands, there's the Gulf oil spill. There's all this kind of stuff that's happening that we can see right around us. And again, it's because oil is getting harder and harder to reach, we have to do more and more destructive things to actually get at it. And so that's having a disproportionate impact. So all that's to say that if we're looking at the world from a climate justice perspective, what climate change is doing is raising the stakes across the board for any kind of social movement is going to have to reckon with things getting a lot tougher, and the exigencies that lead us to want to completely change the system are going to get a lot more sharp in a hurry. So that's the reality, and I guess what we do with it is up to us. Thanks.